For over 1900 years, the Jewish people have mourned the destruction of our holy temple on this day, Tisha B'Av. The first and second temple destroyed by Gentiles, actually a separation between us and our beloved relationship with God. Our deeds drove away His protection and allowed us to fall into the hands of those who wish us ill. And each year since that time, Jews have fasted, they have suffered, and they have tried to correct all the wrongs that brought about that destruction. Until today, we failed. And we hope that spending time together, discussing the problems, suggesting remedies, will make this the last mournful Tisha B'Av. Because as our sages teach, in the future, Tisha B'Av will be the greatest holiday, a day of simcha, happiness. The people were commended for many great acts in the times of the destruction. But they were criticized for their sin'at chinam, baseless hatred. And everybody will tell you, hatred's not baseless. If you know what he did to me, you would feel the same way. But the expression of those negative feelings through the use of speech makes it so much more serious and so much more difficult to correct. Words are powerful. King Solomon in the book of Mishle, Proverbs, says, "Mavit v'chayim b'yad alashon." Death and life are in the hands of the tongue. Words can be a vehicle for acts of kindness, but words can also cause pain and breed despair. And that's not what Hashem in His holy Torah teaches us or demands of us. Throughout the Torah, we see an overriding principle, Derachea Darchei Noam, Untivotea Shalom, Chol Netivotea Shalom. The ways of the Torah, ways of pleasantness, and all its paths, its directives to us, are ways of peace. We're not allowed to make another suffer physically, and certainly not with words. We're not allowed to hold hate in our hearts, and we're not allowed to embarrass another. They're all forbidden. On a positive note, we're instructed to walk in the ways of Hashem, to console, to be kind, to be compassionate. So the Gemara points out, Torah tells us, Lo tonu ish et amito. A person should not, I guess the word is aggravate, a fellow member of society. And the Gemara asks, what would constitute behavior that violates that prohibition? Maybe a person will remind another of a less than commendable past. Remember how you used to be? Perhaps someone will send another on a wild goose chase. Oh, you're looking for that item? They sell it. Oh, but it's way uptown. But if you go there, you'll find it. Knowing it's not there. Perhaps someone will ask a price of a vendor, knowing full well they have no intention whatsoever of buying. Building up the hopes, only to drop them down. Onad Devarim is the name our sages give it. Affliction through words. Rabbi Yochanan said, Gadol Onad Devarim, Me'anat Mamon. afflicting, cheating a person with words is much worse than inflicting financial loss through dishonesty. By words it says, Yareta me'elokecha. You should fear God, because He knows your intentions, and He will personally, so to speak, mete out the punishment, not leave it to the courts. Take care of it. Because a person could say, I was only joking. A person could say, I didn't mean that. But God knows the hearts of men and your true intentions. Let's talk a little bit about speech. What is it? What constitutes speech? Well, we move many organs of the body, the lips, the teeth, the tongue. The lungs have to breathe out. The diaphragm has to move. And many, like myself, speak with their hands to express themselves. But speech is a very lofty power given to the human being. When God created the world, it says, Vayomer Elokim Yehi Or. God said, let there be light. On that first day, nothing else existed. Nothing. No angels, no demons, no people, no animals. No grass, no trees. Who was He speaking to? Yom Echad, the day of one, stresses the fact that God was alone and unique in that time. The time before time. And yet He spoke. The lessons our sages teach us is that speech is communicated, yes, but it's much more powerful than that. There are birds that can communicate one with another. Dolphins can relate one to the other. Different animals warn their friends when there's danger. A mother animal can console its baby through different types of communication, not speech. Speech was the power with which Hashem created everything. The first thing He created was speech, dibur, and with that, He created everything else. It's the creative force that creates everything. And yet, abuse of that force can destroy. It can leave scars that remain much longer than physical scars from a wound. Speech is holy. It's sanctified when used properly. Lo yachel devaro, a person should not use it in the wrong way and demean it beneath its proper place. You know, we look at speech as the transfer, you know, we went to college and we learned physics and we saw films of waves and charts showing us how a sound wave goes from my mouth to your ears. So it's a physical thing, isn't it? And if those waves did not move all the little tender and sensitive spots in your ear, maybe you wouldn't hear. But what happened at Mount Sinai? At Har Sinai. At Har Sinai, Chol Ha'am Ro'im Et HaKolot. It says that the Jewish people reached a stage, a level of spirituality where they saw Hashem's voice. They could actually see the sounds. What does that mean? See sound. It teaches us that sound is much more than what you think it is. It's a spiritual creation with which to create. And it has its own reality. Where does it come from? Vayipach ba'apav. Hashem blew into the nostrils of the human being. Nefesh Chaya, the living soul. But a chaya, a beast, a bear, a deer, a cow, also has that nefesh, that chaya. What is different about the human being? The power to speak. Not merely communicate. Create with words. To build with words. Vayomer Elokim, Hashem said, Ba'asara ma'amarot, with 10 utterances, Hashem created everything. And He blew into you, and you, and you, a small piece of that power with which to build. How are you using that? The tools of construction in your hands, in your mouth. Did you ever take stock? Is it a tool for mass construction or a weapon of mass destruction? The Zohar says, better known as the Kabbalah, I'll translate. Hizhir kanet ha'adam. Hashem warns the person from the fact that he's in this lowly world, the physical world, and he doesn't see, nor does he comprehend, the building, the constructive power, or the destructive power of words. What's done up in the upper atmospheres that control down here when a person speaks. With every dibur, with every utterance. But a person should know, says the Zohar, that every word, even casual conversation between a husband and wife, every time you move your lips and voice a word, he should make sure and she should be careful that that word does not go to waste. And in many places, said the Zohar, we see how constructive it could be towards the final goal of God in this creation. Shemikol dibur kal, tahaval d'oraita, every word of Torah that a person speaks, every positive statement or prayer, millions upon billions of angels are built and created. And quite the opposite. Hefech. The opposite happens when a person uses that holy power, that peace of God in you, in the wrong way. You know, the Gemara sounds very simple. It sounds as if we have several cases, and those cases are, if you meet a person, and that person was once not observant, and that person decided the path of observance in Judaism is the right way in life, and starts to be what we call religious. And you see them, they pray with fervor, they sing on the Sabbath with joy, they run to the shul in the morning, they're the first one in and the last one out, and it just gets you, doesn't it? Who does he think he is? I know where he comes from. I know this guy. He may fool them, but I remember when. And so you walk up to him and say, listen, get real. Cut it out. What are you doing? Don't you remember? And they mention something from the past. We would say, that's not nice. That's horrible. That's bad. And true, it is. But our rabbis teach the depth of that statement. Think for a moment. A person was weak, and their evil inclination was in control. And that person, for some reason, decided, woke up, and wants to do what's right. It's not easy. It's a battle. It's a day-by-day test to see if the person can overcome that inclination to enjoy the things that God forbids. Now you come and say, remember when? And the mind starts to work. Not only is it not correct because you hurt them immediately, but also you arouse. You arouse in them feelings, memories, desires that can make them fall again. Rabbi Dessler even says, a person must be careful on the holy day of Yom Kippur when saying the confession and going through that long list of transgressions, not to dwell too much on anyone. Because even at that holy moment, even while fasting, even while elevated spiritually, those feelings can be aroused again. Don't play with fire. Your words to the Baal Teshuvah, to the one who is repentant, when you remind them of their past, arouse feelings that have nuclear power. You can ruin a life from that point forward. How about the one, as the Gemara says, who sends another person on a wild goose chase? You come into a store, I'd like to buy this item, why don't you buy this one? No, I want the other one. Oh, I don't sell that. Uptown, Abe sells it. Uptown, you don't know anybody closer? No, Abe sells it uptown. How do I get there? We got to take the D train and change it to the A train. You got to take a bus. But you'll get there. It takes about 40 minutes. Knowing full well, Abe never sold it and doesn't have it. What did you do? Just joking? Not true. Not true at all. You see, a person has in them feelings that are positive, feelings that are negative. And God is very fair to you. If you should have a positive thought to do something good, and you make a feeble attempt, and you don't get to accomplish, give it to him. He tried. They write down in the book upstairs, you did it. But if someone should have a negative thought, maybe I should rob a bank. Maybe I should harm this person. And in the end, the person does not, still held liable to a degree. The bad thought is counted. But something worse happens. When does that take effect? When does that take effect? Always? Sometimes? The books bring down that when a person takes a step towards doing it, it solidifies the action into reality. What are we combating on this day of Tisha B'Av? Bad feelings towards each other, the lack of peace amongst Jews, the fact that Party A can't get along with Party B, and there's no real basis for it, it's called Sinat Chinam. Well, let me tell you something. That fellow who sent his friend or his enemy on a wild goose chase didn't merely have a joke or a good time. They took feelings from inside. Feelings of dislike. Feelings of jealousy. Whatever it is that prompted the joke. And solidified that action in God's eyes into a deed which is irreversible and counts as an avera, as a sin. Just joking. There's a lot of forms of negative speech that the Torah forbids. It's true. The Torah forbids a person from lying, from speaking negatively about another, from gossiping, from cheating. But Ona'at Devarim stands on its own. It's worse than gossip. It's worse than slander. Think for a moment. You hurt a person with words. You hurt their self-image. You hurt their potential to achieve. It's long and enduring and harmful. It can permanently damage a person's self-esteem and his ability to relate to others. Humiliation doesn't only result from words. Sometimes it's a snub in a social gathering, giving the victim a feeling of being worthless. Now, we don't want anybody to walk around haughty. But as a matter of fact, a person does need a certain amount of self-image and emotional stability just to operate. It may seem non-violent, but it creates scars that no plastic surgeon can remove. After the marks and blows of a physical injury have disappeared, after a few months of therapy, the person can forget what was. But the lack of self-esteem, that your negative speech can arouse in another person, the destruction of a personality, creates what we call a loser. And that loser is going to raise children who will probably be losers. And they too will probably raise children who will be losers. The effect is long term. The effect is constant. The effect goes on. You see, people are very sensitive. And people are very human. And people are subject to your words. You have the power to build, and you have the power to destroy. You know, in the same verse, Lo tonu ish et amito, the rabbis explain it means don't cheat a person financially, and don't cheat a person or harm a person with words. What's the connection? No other words to use? Lo tonu means both. The victim is subject to a cheat. What does that mean? Unjustly, I can take from you. You're at a disadvantage because I misrepresented the product or I told you something that wasn't true. And now you feel you can buy with confidence. And my psychological advantage brings me profit. In words, the victim suffers at the psychological profit of the inflictor. A person gains at the mental expense of another. Just as the swindler gets financial satisfaction at the expense of the other's loss. Unfortunately, the person who suffers verbal abuse has no legal recourse. Therefore, the pasuk tells us, you should fear God. One who realizes that his or her words are nuclear, nuclear in potency, can understand that nuclear energy today is a subject of dispute. Should we build more power plants or are they dangerous? Well, it depends. If the power is under control, you could light cities and countries at very little expense. You can fly. But by the same token, if that energy is unleashed, dangerously so, you can create a bomb that wipes out an entire population. Is it a power plant supplying heat and light? Is it power for the benefit of the population? Or do we destroy rather than build? Many years ago, we were fortunate to have, as the Gedol Hador, the greatest rabbi of the generation, Rav Moshe Feinstein, Zecher Tzadikim. Rabbi Feinstein had a yeshiva, still operating, on the Lower East Side of Manhattan, MTJ. And there he learned, he wrote, he advised, spent most of his time when he wasn't away helping others. It was well known that after the prayers daily, Rav Moshe, as he's lovingly called, would distribute charities to all those who came in need. One day, a man came and joined the line of those taking the handout. He gave one, he gave another, each one thanked him, each one asked for a blessing for success, each one was appreciative. And Rav Moshe, in his humble way, very little man in size, his height, very big man, personality and spirituality and Torah, he would give them his words of consolation, his greetings, his wishes for success. And then the last man came, the last man online, and Rav Moshe gave him, after hearing his story, a reasonable amount of money. The man took the money, looked at it disdainfully. "This is what you give me?" And he threw it back in the rabbi's face. The students and the bystanders were in awe. The greatest rabbi of the generation who's giving you something, and that's what you do? Before anybody could react, Rav Moshe looked at the man, remained silent for a moment, picked up the money, and asked him, "How much more do you need?" The use of a word to let that man know, "I care about you." Tool of mass construction that will change that man's life forever, as it did. With every word you use, you can build. We were given a piece of God to use. A delicate instrument to bless others, to console others, to make peace with others, not to create discord and bitterness. We were created in the image of God, and then He blew into us the power of God. You should know, Rabbi Meir used to give a lecture. Some man didn't like the fact that his wife was in the gallery listening to Rabbi Meir. And he started a lot of domestic intranquility. Big issue. And he told him the only way we could have shalom bayit, peace in the home, is if you go and spit in the eye of Rabbi Meir in front of everybody. The woman was at a loss to what to do. She went, and at the end of the rabbi's lecture, amongst those who came to get blessings, she walked up and spit in his eye. And Rabbi Meir asked her to repeat it, because he was having a problem with his eye. And one of the doctors told him a little saliva would help. We're creatures of reaction, and we're nuclear reactors. How do we react? Do we react to blow up, or do we react to build? It's the patience and the love you can show a person. It's the encouragement you can give a child. Everything can be said two ways. Negatively and critically and destructively, or positively and constructively. A man talks to his wife. Listen, it won't be the first time. He thinks everything she's saying is ridiculous. Especially if she's asking for money and explaining why we need it. But how does he respond? Does the peace of God in him react, or the peace of flesh in him react? If he says, you know, you can look at it another way, dear, that's construction. Or he could say, that's the most ridiculous thing I ever heard in my life. That's destruction. A child can be encouraged or discouraged by instructions from a mother. Abraham, you better get to sleep. If you don't get sleep now, you're failing that test tomorrow. And that's a big test. And if you fail that test, you know what's going to happen after that? Then the principal is going to call me up to come. And if I have to give up my tennis game to come to the principal's office, you're going to be sorry. Or it could be, Abraham, when you're rested, nobody can outsmart you. You're the smartest kid in the school. If you get to sleep early tonight, I bet you get 100. You'll be a top form in the morning if you get some sleep tonight. Is it destruction or construction? It's marriage, it's employee relations, it's child raising. It's everywhere you can look. An opportunity to fight the human tendency to knock, to deride, to aggravate, to joke with, to belittle another. Some of us feel, I want to get even. You don't get even, you go down. It hurts you as much as it hurts the other. Because you become a more base person. A lower type of human being. Not in the image of God. The nefesh chaya. The soul that was blown into us. The words that our people saw at Sinai. That they saw is what you'll be accountable for. Let me tell you something. Says in the Gemara that at the end of time a person will be shown and will hear every word they spoke, and they will be judged accordingly to the use of that special power. Maseho, what was his speech? Now at the time, earlier generations, maybe people could not understand that. What are you talking about? But in this day and age of digital recordings, of wireless, of videos, where we see and hear things that happened years ago in beautiful color with the exact sound of the voice and tone of the skin with beautiful colors, we can believe it, as the Chafetz Chaim taught us. Modern technology tells us That Gemara is true. But let me tell you something. It doesn't say they will show you etziho. They won't show you your speech. They will show you maziho. What your speech was. What's the difference? There's a difference between what you said and what that something really was in essence. Hashem will show you that your word was not just a little sound wave going to somebody's ear. It was the power of construction and creation that He blew into you on the day that man was created. It was the same power that He used to create the universe and the galaxies and the angels and the demons and the animals and the seas and the fish. That power is in you. And He's going to tell you, you had that. And this word that you used, Ma, what did it bring about? How was it used? What was its nature? What was its result? And you'll be held accountable. A person can go to the house of a mourner, and that person can do what this lady did. There was a yahrzeit recently of a young lady from our community. At a very young age, 19, I believe, she was working as a counselor in the mountains, the Catskills, for a summer camp, a girls' summer camp. And the girls were out on one of those excursions, and the bus was crowded, and she was standing near the driver. And the bus hit something. The door flew open. She was thrown from the bus. And unfortunately, her head hit the ground. And soon after, she passed away. It was a very tearful funeral. But the most broken were her parents. People that I knew personally. Wonderful people. Sterling characters, not to be matched. During the Shiva, the 7-day mourning period, the stream of people into the house and out of the house was unbelievable. The shock waves had spread, and people just kept coming to console. The father, who was broken, was able to react to the people. But the mother did not speak a word. My 19-year-old, my diamond, who was with us and served us, who took care of us after all the older children had gotten married. How could this happen to her? And then a woman came. A woman that they did not know. The mother had not spoken for days. And a woman came and said, Mrs. So-and-so, my husband said I should come see you. I had a dream. The dream was about a female neshama, female soul. And this soul was one of a very righteous woman. And after passing, that soul went up to the heavenly court. And they said, what a neshama you are. What a life you had. Let us show you your accomplishments before you go permanently to Gan Eden. And she was taken by an angel to a beautiful field where there was a palace. And she was taken into the palace. And as she was given the tour of the palace, she was shown that on each door was a word. This is chesed. They opened the door, and all the kindness, the reward for kindness, for all the kindnesses this person had performed in her lifetime, was in the room. It was magnificent. And the next room was another mitzvah, and the next room was another mitzvah. And she was overcome with happiness at the fruits of her life here on earth. And then she came to a room, and the angel walked by. And she said, "What's in that room?" "You can't look in there." "But why not?" "It's locked." "So, but it's my house." "Sorry. That room is for kibud av va'em. That room is for honoring your parents, your mother and your father." "But what would you want me to do? I realized I didn't do that mitzvah. I never had parents. I didn't have parents to respect or to belittle. I was an orphan. You can't hold back the reward from me. I didn't have the opportunity." And she begged the angel to take her back to the court. And they went back to the court, and she pleaded. And the judgment of the court was, you have to go down again to serve parents, to complete the mitzvah before you move into the palace of the world to come. Mrs. So-and-so, that neshama was your daughter. And she was here for 19 short years to perform one mitzvah. And how well she did it. She's there now in her palace. It's the first time she responded all week. She was given life again. How do you use your words to build, to console, to encourage, to bring peace and love between the people? Because Tana de Beliau says, God in heaven looks down at his people and he says, "My children, my beloved ones, there's nothing I need. What do I ask of you? Only one thing. That you should get along with one another. You should eliminate the jealousy, the hate, and the competition. And do for each other. And build each other. And have peace amongst each other." If we could fix that, my friends, next year at this time, we will be celebrating rather than mourning. It will be the Tisha B'Av of the future, the greatest holiday on the Jewish calendar. Let's work on it. Let's fix. Let's build. Let's use our heavenly power to bring about the coming of Mashiach. B'mehera, b'yameinu. Amen. Thank you.